Sanders and 0-2. And strike three call throws him on a fastball. Caught Adames looking. And Falter is rolling tonight. 8 strikeouts for Bailey Falter. Pirates lead 2-1 in the ninth. 2 outs, nobody on. 2 strike pitch. Swing and a ground ball to second on the backhand. Triolo knocks it down, throws to first. He got him. The ball game is over and the Pirates win it again. Bednar with the save for the second straight night. And the Pirates beat the Brewers 2-1.
Yeah, I think that's the right word right there. It was attack mode. He went right after him. I mean, it's an all right-handed lineup except for Terang at the bottom. And, I mean, it doesn't matter because that kid's a good hitter. But he went right after him. I think the thing that was probably the most impressive is, you know, the last five innings, he went 10-10-9-7 or 10-10-10-9-7. I mean, he was really efficient. And you got to be efficient to have innings that are that low in pitch count.
All right, great. Bailey Falter was outstanding. 8 strikeouts, 7 innings. The Pirates win their second consecutive ball game against the first place in NL Central Brewers. But it just hits me. What if there is no second clue? What if there's no second clue? What if this is the only clue and I'm just supposed to be searching for this for all eternity?
Right. I mean, they have the upper hand, so.
They've got me by the balls.
Shouldn't left your jacket.
Another text. Maybe a janitor threw the second clue away. All right, I'm going on home field, right? I'm just going to buy another jacket.
No, don't do that.
I'm just going to buy another jacket.
Don't do that. By the time the show's over, we'll have it figured out.
All right.
Don't do that.
Because we've got so much time on our hands between now and 10 o'clock while we'll be doing the radio show.
And you know your compulsive thoughts always lead you to the right answer, so.
Well, they didn't lead me to the right place on Bailey Falter, who has been, let's call it what it is, guys, the second best starter for the Pirates this year. Through 5 games. If we are going to crown Jared Jones the second coming of Cy Young himself because of his sample size through 5 games, we've got to feel pretty good about Bailey Falter through 5 games, no? And I said this guy was going to suck. He has not sucked. He has a 3.33 ERA. Apart from the first 5 batters he's faced, he's been really good. And if he keeps this up, obviously he's in the rotation the rest of the year. If his numbers start reverting to the mean, if you look at a predictive number like FIP, which is a better indication of where things are going than ERA, his ERA is probably going to land somewhere in the mid-4s. Even if he did that the rest of the season, that's a useful innings-eating starting pitcher for you. And you just heard Derek Shelton there before I went on another soliloquy about my jacket. He was in attack mode. He was efficient. Hey, a round of applause for Bailey Falter and a much-needed win for the Buccos.
I love that you're giving a round of applause for Bailey Falter right now. And yesterday I was cutting the grass, listening to Cook and to Pony and Muller, and you know, I started thinking about the game and knowing that Bailey Falter was going to get the start. Then I, you know, hours later, I was going to my kids' baseball game, and I had, you know, an earpiece in, and I'm listening to the game, and Bailey Falter's doing his thing. And I sat there and I thought, I was like, you know what? I chimed in. But I didn't go full bore whenever the season started and Bailey Falter was in the lineup. But you did. You were like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
This guy does not belong. Blah, blah, blah. This, and that. This guy stinks. This, and that. I don't remember why you had that initial thought.
I'll tell you why.
Please do.
If you were going to make a prediction on how Bailey Falter would fare this year, there was only one prediction you could make based on all the information available. And that's my job. That's our job. We make predictions. We have takes. Sometimes we're wrong. Maybe a lot of times lately I've been wrong. I don't want to make this all about me. This is about Bailey Falter, and so we will talk about what he means to this rotation. But if we were going to, and we did make predictions on the season and on the team and on players on the team, the only prediction you could have made for Bailey Falter was that he was going to suck. He had a 7.88 ERA in spring training. 7.88! He was terrible! He had 3 starts, 16 innings, couldn't get anybody out. Last season, full year, a 5.36 ERA. When he was traded from the Phillies to the Pirates, he had pitched 40.1 innings with the Phillies. He then pitched the exact same amount with the Bucks, 40.1 innings. He was worse with the Pirates than he was with the Phillies. He had a 5.58 ERA with the Bucks. So a 5.58 ERA last year, a 7.88 ERA in spring training, why would I have predicted he was going to be good? There was nothing to show us he was going to be good. Now, they told us they knew stuff that we didn't. And that's always going to be the case. We have sources. We talk to people close to the team. We talk to people on the team. We talk to people in the front offices. With all the sports, we get information. I'm not a pitching coach. So whatever they saw in Bailey Falter, as I watched him last year and as I looked statistically at his entire career, I didn't see anything that made me think, oh yeah, I know that they have a diamond in the rough here. Good for them that they did. Because without him, they're probably not a 500 ball club right now, above 500. So they saw something in him, and they got whatever they could out of him, and he's been good. But for all the people who have texted, tweeted, called, and said that I need to apologize to Bailey Falter, I was wrong, but I should have been wrong. I should have predicted he was going to suck, because that's all he's ever done is suck. So there you go. I ain't apologizing.
What was your thoughts of Jared Jones going into the season?
I was excited, but I didn't know that he would do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he earned his way onto the roster based on having a great spring. And the Pirates expect good things out of him. He's been a top 100 prospect. Not an elite prospect, but a really good prospect. So it made sense for them to put him in the rotation. They thought he could help them. There's no way they thought he'd be this good.
No way.
And frankly, there's no way they thought Bailey Falter would pitch to a 3.33 ERA. Like, there's no way they thought he would be this good. He's been dominant. The first five hitters got on. We saw them get on base and then a home run. He gave up five runs before he recorded an out this year. Since then, he's been Randy bleeping Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing, Doran Dickerson. Crowley apologized to Bailey. I was wrong. I'm okay with being wrong because I trust my process there. I'm also happy he's doing well.
Right.
I want the Pirates to win.
Right.
If any Pirate overperforms and I've killed them before, oh well. Worst thing is, I'm wrong. Best thing is the team that I root for is winning baseball.
You're happy to be wrong in this situation.
Yes.
It's one of those situations.
Yes. I still don't really get it. Like, just being fully transparent here.
They do.
I don't get it. He's a one-pitch guy. He's throwing like 75% fastballs, and he doesn't even throw hard.
What's Jared Jones? He's a two-pitch guy.
Yeah, but he throws 98 to 100. That at least makes sense in my little pea brain, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who throws 100 with a devastating slider gets people out. Okay, that jives. That makes sense. Guy who throws 92, 93, and occasionally bumps it up to 94, he getting people out routinely? They say it's about the arm slot. They say he's releasing the ball closer to the home plate than anybody else. Okay. He's kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors, but you'll take it.
Absolutely.
You'll take it.
Absolutely. If you find any consistency, it's not going to be as this good. Production, but if you find some type of consistency, we talk about the starting rotation. I mean, Mitch Keller's almost an afterthought right now, at least in the season. As we sit here today, like, I don't even think about Mitch Keller anymore.
You know what? He is made up for Mitch Keller's underperformance because Mitch has underperformed that contract so far. He had two not great starts, two good starts, and then his last start, he looked like he was Mitch Keller again and then kind of fell apart at the end. So if you're keeping score at home, and we are, that's three bad for Mitch, two good. You need better from him. He has shown, though, that it's still in there. As concerned as I was before the year, during the beginning of the year with Mitch, I'm less concerned now. But you're right. Bailey Falter right now is pitching the way, not the same way, but the results are similar to what we got from Mitch Keller earlier on last season. You're mm-hmm. right about that.
Mm-hmm.
He is making up for the underperformance of Mitch. And what I thought was going to be the biggest Achilles heel of this team, the starting pitching, I thought he was going to be the weak link even of that.
Yes.
And he's been the second best pitcher on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for him. By all accounts, a good guy. I will bring up the FIP again, the analytic fielding independent pitching. It is a predictor of basically future ERA, and it's got him sitting around a 4.5 right now. So his ERA is 3.33. He's gotten lucky, at least according to the analytics. But if he's got a 4.5 ERA the rest of the way, I think you're living okay with that
right.
with your fifth starter.
Yeah.
And that's really what we thought he would be coming in. Now, that being said, I don't think these results are going to hold. So no. Let me doubt him again, Doran. Let me doubt him again. You ain't going to get this good from Bailey Falter every time. It's just not going to happen.
But that's fine.
Yes.
That's okay. And like you said, the FIP, whatever it is, you know, the future, whatever.
Fielding ERA. Independent pitching.
Yeah, whatever that is, 4 or 5, like, that's fine. Like, it's great now, but it's fine that if that does, that prediction does come true, and that's what he is, because you didn't expect him to be what he is now, and he's helping you win ball games, and he's pitching very well. And you don't even have your ace, your true ace that you drafted 1-1 yet.
I know. I'm fighting the urge to go overly optimistic again on the Pirates. Like, he is the guy that I thought would just hold the place that was eventually going to be Paul Skeens. And now we find out, so Marco Gonzalez is going to be out for a while, and they're hoping that he avoids surgery. Quinn Priester was in line to start tonight. He was awful the last time out. He's not going to start tonight. Instead, they're going with lefty Josh Fleming.
Right.
And maybe they're going to piggyback Quinn Priester. We'll see how that all goes. That's the spot in the rotation that if Paul Skeens comes up, he's going to take right now.
Right now,
and Bailey
for sure.
Fulter is going to continue to take the ball every fifth day.
For sure.
Here's a text. Now we're going too far, people. At 412-928-9370. The text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Greg Maddux didn't throw 94-95 either. Can we not do the Bailey Falter is Greg Maddux thing?
When are you going to give him full 100% credit? How long will it take? What more do you have to see? Like, even right now, if the season ended, I mean, if he does go to crap, like, I feel like he's done a decent job.
Doran, if the season ended today and they were in the postseason, he's getting the ball in Game 2.
Game 2?
You're going Jared Jones Game 1. You're going Bailey Falter Game 2 and
right.
Mitch Keller in Game 3.
Right.
He's been very good. I do need to give him his flowers. I do need to give him a round of applause. Congratulations to Bailey Falter on outperforming everybody's expectation and especially mine.
Can I make one point?
Well, I'm going to answer Doran's question and then you can.
Okay.
Jacket thief. I don't think I ain't suspecting you over there, Callis. Give it another month. Give it another month. If his ERA is under 4 a month from now, I'm going to buy in as this is the version of Bailey Falter we can and should expect. Go ahead, buddy.
So you said you don't want to get too high on the Pirates again. Why don't you take, instead of too high or too, like, ooh, I'm going to be pessimistic to save my feelings, why not just do what I'm doing and take it a day at a time?
That's not fun. I live my life in extremes with everything.
And that's why...
My sports fandom included.
And that's why you're distracted by a jacket.
Right.
While you're doing a show on the greatest station in this city.
Uh-huh. Wow. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Wow.
Ooh, how about this little read here, Doran? This is pretty cool. Join me, Doran Dickerson, and Doug Whaley, and more for our annual draft coverage. That's tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. Donnie Football, Jim Haslett, and Paul Zeiss going to be there as well. It's brought to you by Spitzer Acura and New Flow Men's Health. Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's why Paul's on. You got to push that New Flow Men's Health.
Yep.
Okay. Coming up next, enough Bailey Falter, although you can continue to abuse me on the text line and the phone lines if you'd like to at 412-928-9370. Up next, Derek Shelton has taken some flack early this year from Pirates fans, and we've said it's our first real chance to evaluate him with a fairly talented roster. Well, he's pushed a couple of correct buttons the last two nights. We'll give him credit when we come back.
Tobias Myers making his Major League debut. First pitch is swung on, cranked right down the left field line, and he's done it again! Another leadoff home run for Andrew McCutchen! He yanked that right down the left field line, and the Pirates lead it 1-0.
Daddy, what's it going to be like to pitch in the big leagues?
Oh.
One pitch, crank, home run, 1-0, Bucks. Can't feel great. Was it Starling Marte, Callis, who his first Major League plate appearance hit a home run?
Yeah, first pitch he saw off Dallas Keuchel in Houston.
In Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up over the Crawford boxes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So that's the good side of making your Major League debut. Whoa, look at this. Ain't so bad. And then for this youngster last night.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's tough. Derek Shelton deserves credit, man. Like, we crush him as people do when he makes bad decisions. And we've said that this is the first year that we really can get a clear idea of whether he's a good manager or not. He's actually got talent. He's got some talent in the starting rotation. He's got a good bullpen, or at least he should, and there's talent in the lineup. So we are going to scrutinize Derek Shelton in a way that we haven't scrutinized him before. I thought it was a terrible idea to put Andrew McCutchen in the leadoff spot. He goes 3-for-4 on Monday with a home run, leads off the game, has a fourth swing that could have been a hit. It was like 115 miles an hour gobbled up by the third baseman. Yesterday, 2-for-4 with a homer. So good for Andrew, getting back in the swing of things. And then as for Derek Shelton, hey, he had this inkling, I'm going to put Kutch back up at the top of the order, and through two games, it's absolutely worked.
Yeah, I mean, and you said it yesterday, I mean, with the leadoff batter and what your kind of the approach to that is, I think he's helped the lineup out a lot. You know, even seeing pitches, knowing what a guy's going to do, knowing how a guy's going to approach the throws to the plate. So he's seen it all. Like, from what Callis told me yesterday, and I'm sure you already knew this, it makes a lot of sense to me how you would have a veteran baseball player who is a borderline Hall of Famer and still playing at a high level be your leadoff. I mean, it's that simple to me.
McCutchen was a high-demand player from some other teams because he's been really good at getting on base ever since his heyday with the Pirates.
Yeah.
That's just something he's always been super consistent with, was getting on base. And that helped the teams that he was on before, and it seems like it could help the Pirates as well, the way he's swinging.
Now with the, it's a good point, Callis, and armed totally with hindsight, knowing how it's worked the last couple of games, it does make sense from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. The entire lineup was struggling. Key Brian Hayes has maybe been their most consistent guy, but he's doing it with no power. You really haven't seen a single player in this lineup outperform expectation, with the exception of maybe Connor Joe. And so if you need a spark, what does Derek Shelton decide to do? He goes with his vet. He goes with a vet who's let off before. He's now got, 11 leadoff home runs in his Pirates career. If you need to jumpstart it, you go with the guy that you trust, and it does make sense. And I would leave him there for the foreseeable future now, right? Like, yeah. Why would you change that up at this point?
No reason to do Mm-mm. that. No reason. I mean, two games, two home runs in the first inning. Like, come on. Like,
and what is he now? So that would make him... Math.
What?
5-for-8. 5-for-8 the last two mm-hmm. games with two home runs. Yeah, you'll take that.
Yes.
And if he's not hitting home runs, if he's not hitting for power, you know he's going to get on base. He did not have a full spring training. All of a sudden, he's looking like Andrew McCutchen again. So full marks to Derek Shelton there. I've just been laughably wrong all baseball season,
yes,
man.
Yes, you have.
I hated that. When I saw the lineup come out, I said, McCutchen batting first, he should be batting ninth. This is ridiculous. And he's gone 5-for-8 with two home runs.
You know what? I say keep it up, actually, because last year you got really high, and then that's when they collapsed. So maybe keep doing whatever this is, and then they'll keep doing well.
I consider myself a baseball guy. It was my first love. I'm obsessed with baseball. I will watch every game, whether they suck or whether they're in this thing. I think I know what I'm talking about. Been dead-ass wrong all year about everything.
I think I know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Do you?
I do.
I know. You shouldn't think that anymore.
So I also said they should demote David Bednar to a lower leverage role.
Yep.
The last time he pitched in a low leverage role was three appearances ago, and he was awful. You put him back in the closer role, and he got a save each of the last two nights. Meanwhile, the guy that I wanted to be promoted to closer couldn't throw a strike the other night in Aroldis Chapman. He threw 16 pitches, four of them for strikes, on a 3-0 count. He bounced one off the back wall, off the cobblestone or whatever, off the rocks behind the home plate umpire. He can't throw strikes. That's the guy I want to be in the closer. I wanted David Bednar demoted, and all of a sudden David Bednar is David Bednar again.
You know what I want you to say right now? I want you to say Paul Skeens isn't going to get called up until August. Because then he's going to get called up next week. Say it. Go ahead. Just put that in the universe.
I don't think you're going to see Paul Skeens before 2026.
I do have a theory around Paul Skeens, though, right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it next, but I do have a little theory.
All right. Let's do that coming mm-hmm. up next. Doran Dickerson's Paul Skeens theory. Before we get to that, one more guy that I was wrong about. I said send O'Neill Cruz to AAA. He goes 3-for-4, and then he gets another hit last night, and... Michael McHenry did a breakdown on the post-game show. He did a breakdown on social media.
His swing.
Yeah, about his swing being different and the timing and his foot and all this. baseball batter mumbo jumbo, all of a sudden O'Neill Cruz looks like O'Neill Cruz again. So 0 for 3 in my recent predictions, 0 for 4 if you include how I thought Bailey Falter was going to stink, and 0 for 5 because I said that Mitch Keller was terrible, and then the next start he goes out there and shoves.
What's your next one?
Well, we're not going to see Paul Skeens until July 2026.
Let's do one for tonight, too.
Yeah, I'll give you a prediction for tonight.
All right.
And we'll see how wrong that is. We can just do this every day.
I like it.
All right. Up next, Doran's new theory or take on Paul Skeens. Plus, Derek Shelton was ripped big time for his controversial call to pull Jared Jones from his start against the Mets. He owned that decision yesterday with Starkey. And would he do the same thing again? We'll hear from the Pirates skipper when we come back. A lot of draft coverage, obviously, on today's show from 7 o'clock on, but more Buccos next. So Doran just cursed very loudly during the break. We got a lot going on here. I'm on a scavenger hunt to find my West Virginia jacket. It was stolen by someone here in the office, and they've got me on this wild goose chase. Doran just screams an expletive. He cusses at the top of his lungs. I look at him like, man, what's going on? I forgot my Skeens theory. We got Derek Shelton comments to go over before we dive headfirst into draft talk coming up at 7. Do you need me to get into the Derek Shelton clip? And we'll do that topic first, and we'll come back to your Skeens theory?
Yeah. CTESPN over here. Like, I can't remember anything. Unbelievable.
At least CTESPN's getting stuff right. I can't get stuff right. You can't remember anything. We are a well-oiled machine this morning. And we got people texting in saying this is their favorite morning show of all time so far.
Wait, I think I got it.
See, I was trying to filibuster there. All right, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Paul Skeens theory. So, I hope it doesn't suck.
I know. Tell me if it does, both of you. Tell me if it sucks, and then I'll never speak again. I'll just quit. See, now I'm messed up again.
No. Derek Shelton talking about...
Okay. So the way that Jared Jones has been pitching, fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And, you know, a very, very pleasant surprise. One of the best pitchers in baseball, one of the greatest stories in sports really going right now. Bailey Falter, if you want to go directly to the Pirates, he's been playing and pitching very, very well. Pleasant surprise. Crowley thought he was trash. He's not trash. He's pretty good. Did very well last night. Got them the win. I think when Paul Skeens actually gets called up, I think Mitch Keller – we'll look at it and look at the situation like, I cannot get pushed down any farther. And I think that that's when we'll see the truest form of Mitch Keller. Whenever Paul Skeens gets called up, he'll start to hit his stride then, and then he'll be in the mix. I think everybody's going to play pretty consistent, play the way that they've been playing until Skeens gets called up. But my real theory is...
Oh, that's not even the theory.
No. I think that to fans and people like us, we'll be very, very underwhelmed by what Paul Skeens is going to do, maybe within like the first couple starts, because we have been accustomed to Jared Jones, Bailey Falter, and then Mitch Keller will start to come on the scene. That Skeens will not
he won't disappoint.
He won't disappoint, but we'll be like, well, where's the 102? Like, why isn't he getting eight Ks?
Mm-hmm.
Because he got like 5. Why isn't he getting, you know, 7 Ks and he got 4? Like, I think that he's going to be very, very underwhelming because of the pitching situation that is here now.
All right, I'll address both of these. We're going to hear from Derek Shelton coming up in the next segment, talking about the Jared Jones decision in that Mets series and whether or not he would do it again. So we will get to that. Mitch Keller spoke yesterday, I think it was with Hannah Mears, I want to say, about Jared Jones raising the bar for everyone in that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey Falter looks at Jared Jones and goes, well, he's filling up the strike zone. I'm going to try to fill up the strike zone. Mitch Keller says he has collectively raised the game of everybody else because they see, oh, he's not afraid to throw strikes, so we're going to try to go out there and let our stuff play. So you say if Skeens comes up and he gets bumped maybe one more rung down and that'll motivate him? I don't disagree with that at all. As for your Skeens theory, that's a great take. It's a great take. There is, honestly, it is unlikely that Paul Skeens is going to come up here and through 5 starts be as good as Jared Jones was through 5 starts.
Or Bailey.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. If he comes up, man, and has a 3.33 ERA, which is what Bailey Falter has, through 5 starts, we're all going to be happy and impressed with Paul Skeens, but that's not what Jared Jones is doing.
Right.
Jared Jones has an ERA under 3, and he's striking everybody out. Skeens is going to come up and strike guys out. He's not going to be as good as Bailey Falter through five starts. It's not going to happen because you can count on one hand the number of guys who have done with what Jared Jones has done. We had a stat yesterday that nobody, apart from five other guys, has struck out seven or more in each of their first seven starts, or five starts, excuse me, going back to 1893.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Like, Skeens is going to come up. He's probably going to look very good. He's not going to be as good as Jones. And people are going to go, oh, wow, oh, geez, who's the better guy? Hey, it's probably Jared Jones.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to be very underwhelming, but underwhelming that, you know, you could kind of just look the other way with it because of the way that the starting rotation has been playing. You could kind of look the other way, but he's going to be underwhelming where he almost be not an afterthought, but, you know, oh, wow, okay, well, I guess it's going to take a little bit more time. What, Jared Jones, though? Bailey, wow, Bailey, but you know, Mitch Keller's now, you know, $75 million. Okay, that looks like him.
I just turned my microphone off. What the hell is happening today? The difference between Skeens and those guys is, while there was a level of expectation for Jared Jones, he has so far exceeded that.
Yes.
While there were zero expectations for Bailey Falter, he looks like Jeff Locke on steroids from when Jeff Locke was pitching well in 2013. Paul Skeens' expectation level is up here.
It's easier to climb up the hill than to stay on top of the hill.
Do you just come up with that?
Yeah.
TM. I like those theories, Doran.
He's starting. So, like, the expectations are ridiculous right now. He's almost destined to, like, not fail, but not do well.
He's destined to be the second best pitcher on the staff this year. And no one would have thought that coming in. I think most people thought the second he takes the bump in Pittsburgh, he's far and away their number one starter.
Yeah.
And, all right, try to take that mantle from Jared Jones. And you talk about the pushing each other element of all of this at the competition. You don't think Skeens is going to want to go out there and outdo Jared Jones?
And that's kind of what wraps around to my whole, you know, conversation. That's the kind of central part of it, is that maybe to fans he will be underwhelming, but there's something else that is brewing in that locker room and in that dugout and in the bullpen, and that it will breed the success in the competition for everybody to play at a high level. And then you kind of sit there and you're like, wow, like, if we were to make it to the playoffs and these pitchers were pitching as consistently as they have been, and it's going to fall off for everybody at some point.
Yeah.
I get it, but pitch pretty well, that you could see them being a playoff pitchers. Then you kind of see, like, well, Jared Jones, then is it Skeens? Is it Keller? Or is it Keller? Is it Skeens? Is it Falter? Like, you got four guys.
And Martin Perez has been pretty good, too.
Like, you're in a pretty good spot.
Give us a call. React to those theories at 412-928-9370. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Derek Shelton. He was on with Starkey and Zeiss yesterday, and he was asked point blank about the decision to pull Jared Jones after 59 pitches against the Mets. Would he do it again? Wait until you hear his answer. And I have an update here. I'm on this wild goose chase trying to find my jacket that was stolen from me, my West Virginia jacket, stolen by an Odyssey employee. Found the next clue. And here's what it says. Congrats. Your next clue out of 10. There are going to be 10 of these. Visit the room where people meet virtually. Find the object that should not be used as a bathroom. Because we had that scandal before from our Zoom room.
Got it.
Where someone was peeing in the potted plant.
Yep.
So we'll find clue number 3. But we hear from Derek Shelton coming up next. Going to get to this coming up next. Should the Steelers trade the 20th and 51st pick to move up to 12th in the draft to take Toledo cornerback Quinyon Mitchell? That's our Twitter poll, brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. And here are the options. No, hell no, of course not, and dear God, why? So you can vote at underscore Adam Crowley. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We will get to that very specific hypothetical that has some sourcing behind it coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, Derek Shelton, he joined Cook and Joe yesterday, minus Cook, adding Zeiss, even though the show's called The Joe Show. And he was asked about Jared Jones getting pulled after 5 innings against the Mets.
This is something we have talked about since then. Do we know we're right at 5 innings? No, I'm not telling you we do. Just like I'm not telling you that anybody in the game knows how we're going to prevent any type of injuries or everything that's going on. I'm not saying we're right here. I'm not saying 59 pitches was right. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that this was a situation that we thought we were going to monitor him. So I don't know if the five ups is right. I don't know if the 59 pitches is right. I completely understand that. I will tell you, since that point, there has been a lot of discussion about that specific thing. And that's not saying like, hey, we're trying to skirt around that we took him out and he was pitching really well. No, you know me better than that I don't do that. But we have to continue to look at what our process is here. Not saying that process is right, or we have it to the point of like, we got this nailed down. But it's something we will continue to talk about. Honestly, going into it, I had predetermined that it was going to be five. Looking back at it, it was 5 and 59. Should I have adjusted that? Maybe. I think the thing about it is we have to continue to kind of study and look at what our process is.
My read, Doran, he would not do it again.
No.
That's my read
mm-hmm,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it. We considered it. It was my decision. Five innings. That's where he's capped. He's coming out no matter what after five. Well, we looked at it. Will we do it again? Maybe. He ain't doing it again.
Mm-mm.
He ain't doing it again. And it makes me like the decision less than when the decision was made. I thought they would have had harder numbers. I thought they would have more of a clearly defined plan. I thought it would have come from on high. It sounds like it was basically, according to Charrington, just a staff decision that went really over his head from the managerial staff. I have said when you have a plan, you want to take emotion out of it. And so that's what I thought happened there. You're taking emotion out of it. He's at five because you've got this very specific plan for him. It doesn't sound like they have a specific plan. So I think they're going to let Jared pitch. They're going to probably be calculated on when they do want to dial him back. Maybe he won't get to 91 his next time out, but I don't think we're going to see what happened against the Mets ever happen again for him.
Mm-mm.
I don't.
Mm-mm.
Do you like that he said that he might change his mind, or do you want a manager kind of to stand behind his decision?
I know. I like being able to think and evolve and change on the fly, because things change. Like, things don't stay the same. Like you said yesterday and the day before and the day before that, no, not every inning is created equal.
Right.
Like, not every game is created equal. Not every player is created equal. Like, I like the philosophy, and I kind of, connected to this. Like, in high school, everybody lifted the same weight. The quarterbacks lifted the same things as offensive line. Offensive line lifted the same things as defensive backs. And you weren't pertaining the actual lifts to the actual position. Like, not everybody's the same. Why are we all doing the same lifts? We're all doing different things. So I think that in life, and especially in sports, at a 30,000-foot view, like, things will change. Players are different. Sizes are different. Arm speed and arm talent is different. Like, you want to, structure your timeline and your thought process and your game plan around an individual, not a team philosophy. And as a manager or as a coach, those things will change daily. Like, Jared Jones could wake up today and be like, oh, well, my hip is sore, not even my arm. And that will change things of that. Or I'm feeling really good. Like, hey, let me go. Okay, that should change based on what the player is.
I think moving forward, and I think that's well said by you, you can have an idea if you're Derek Shelton and staff.
Yes.
Hey, because he's going on 4 days rest today, we have an idea that we're going to hold his pitch count down a little bit, but probably not be married to that is the way that I think it's going to go going forward. And I think I am okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know you need to be careful with this guy, and you know you want to be careful with Paul Skeens, but you also want to win that ball game on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, well, first, actually, I found another clue for my missing jacket.
Okay.
That was stolen right from out under my nose here in this office, and I'm now on a wild goose chase scavenger hunt. So I found the clue in the Zoom room in the plant where we had a scandal where there was an employee peeing in it. Keep going. Only eight more to go. Just kidding. Look around Andy's work area. Andy's our web guy. I'm guessing that's where I'll find the jacket. And thank God it'll be over. It'll all be done, and I'll be able to pull my jacket on for the next segment.
Yeah, we could have just went right to the source. Really.
Probably could have figured this out before the show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Me scoozy. Coming up next, the man who reported that Deontay Johnson was going to get traded says the Steelers are interested in moving up in the draft and have targeted one player in particular. We hear from the reporter when we come back, and we'll react to this hot rumor. But first, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com.